with you in spirit now, Lord. With you in worship now, Lord. With you in word and in song and in this prayer. Be with us in this time of the message. Open our hearts and our minds to your love and to your way. Make a straight path in the wilderness. Amen. So, the Advent story is in many ways the story of family. It's the story of relations and relationships. John was the son of Zacharias, a priest in the temple, and of Elizabeth, whom we will hear of next week. Mary was related, it seems, to Elizabeth, and so John and Jesus were perhaps cousins. Two young men growing up in a tiny part of the planet, raised on the stories of their people, like the verses we heard this morning from the book of Isaiah. Boys to men growing up under the Roman yoke, boys to men growing up amidst the people of the covenant, some of whom are fleeing the cities and gathering together in the wilderness in groups, searching for better lives, for different lives, looking for answers, someone to lead them, a Messiah, an anointed one, looking for comfort, for a measure of joy in hard scrabble lives. And John was out there in the wilderness too, we heard this morning. He was dunking folks. He was baptizing in the waters of the Jordan. And when confronted by the religious authorities of the day, he denies three times that he is this Messiah. And he answers them with the words of one of their and his prophets, one of the truth tellers. I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. And he points to one coming after him, whom he says stands among him, but they do not know. He does not name Jesus. This becomes apparent later in this story, in the verses of this book. John is a herald, a forerunner, a town crier, a foreshadower, an oak of righteousness, a witness to the light. And so, as this is the morning of Advent that I traditionally tell a story, this morning, this is a story of relationship. Not of relations, although all my relations, as our Indigenous brethren say, figures in this story this morning on this third Sunday of Advent. No, I will weave a tale. I will tell a John story, although this man would never have claimed such a role. I will tell the story of one whose name, incidentally, was not John, but Dave, a witness to the light, one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. And as I tell this story, I want you to bring to memory or to mind those in your life who have been or who are harbingers, foretellers, conduits, witnesses to the light already here and ever coming into the world. She's been calling in the wild. I once knew a boy who was clean of limb with remarkable skin, and I spent a good portion of my youth with him. We actually rambled and gambled, G-A-M-B-O-L-L-E-D, a word I have never seen used in any writing, but it fits perfectly. We gambled through the back 40, around the haystack, through the mow, and out again, back through the bush and field. I met Dave at 8. He was 9. We lived on the same concession road. No, that's not true. He lived on the concession road. I came up on weekends and in the summers, except for that remarkable 3 months when I was 14 and my parents shipped me to the country during a school strike in the city. And it was in those strike months up there that I woke up to life's contradictions, to iniquity, to what we do to one another, to unfairness, and also to the joy of comfort. But I get ahead of the story. I was 8 and he was 9. We met on the border of our property, not a half acre or 100 feet, as these things are measured in the city, but the 200-acre border of our place and the no border of his, because his home was the entire county. Before I met Dave, even when he was that young, he had wandered and hunted on huge amounts of territory between the 8th and the 9th concession. Ownership made him laugh. When I pointed out the beginning of our place and pointed out he was trespassing, his response was far too old for his years. He said, "I will walk where I walk, and you will walk where you walk, and if we walk together, who will tell us not to?" And I sat down and considered, and so did he. He was simply sitting, I was considering, and I decided it was way better to walk with another than to walk alone. And besides, he was clean of limb and his face was so darn open, like an invitation to adventure. And so we rambled together. She comes calling from the wild. In those summers, Dave showed me where the sap ran and where the best place was to pick blueberries. He showed me where the waterfall fell and the space behind where you could stand and not get wet. He showed me how moss grows only on one side of the tree and how you could never get lost if you knew that one fact. And then I left and he went on, back to his place on the 8th line, and I saw little to none of him. And then 2 years later, I came back when there was a strike in the city, and I came back to live between the 2nd and the 3rd concession on the 8th line on my own. I ran into Dave on the school bus, and each morning his face was busted up, and his arm hung at a silly angle, and his head hung so low, and his responses were monosyllabic. And each morning, he seemed to slump lower and lower in his seat on the bus. And I came to understand the reality of Dave's life. A mom who had left with his 6 brothers and sisters, and a dad whom he chose to stay with because, as he said, someone had to take care of him. And his dad was an abusive alcoholic. She comes calling with the wild. But there was one more 24 hours. He was 15, I was 14, and for one amazing day into night, we pretended that none of the rest of it was real. It was Christmas Eve. We met at the fence line and headed down the back lane, snow up to our knees and up to our waists where there were breaks in the trees that lined the lane. We rambled and gambled again in the back 40 and got lost. For a time, it did not matter. We walked and talked and were comfortably silent, except when Dave showed me signs of deer and coyote, rabbit, and smaller varmints. And dusk began to fall. It comes early this time of year. And Dave led me to water, a pond how far back there, I don't know. I had never found it before, and I have never found it since. It was, of course, frozen. And I was, of course, thirsty, and he showed me where the water came up from the aquifer, which I have since learned happens when water under the ground fills to overflowing up to the surface. We call them springs. And that moving water never, ever freezes. And we drank our fill, and then we sat by the pond on a fallen giant of a log, and we watched. And as we sat, we became aware of the sounds of the woods, of the wind in the cedars and the pine. It was Thomas Merton who said that nothing has ever been said about God that hasn't already been said better by the wind in the pine trees. And it got darker. And still we sat. There was comfort in the dark of the shadows and joy in the tendrils of light cast by the moon. And it began to snow, and sleep came over us. And when my eyes opened again, it was to the pressure of Dave's hand on my shoulder, The moon was high up in the sky. It was like daylight mixed with darkness. And in front of us was a trio of deer, two larger and one smaller, a holy family of sorts. They were on the spring side of the pond, and they were bending their heads to drink, and they did not startle, and we did not move. And the world was silent as a silent night, and the world was as holy as, oh, holy night. Our grins were as wide as our eyes. It was not cold. It was not wet. There was no fear in the wilderness for that time. Looking back, I am sure Dave was never lost that night. But in our silent trek back, no rambling or gambling, I felt found. I felt changed. Light as the snow falling around us, and heavy with the awareness of the welcome that awaited Dave on his return home. Listen closely now to all the wrong sounds trying to hear. Listen closely now. The last will be first, the far will be near. Listen closely now. Make straight the path, the wilderness here. Listen closely now. The one who comes next will march through this fear. Listen closely now. A plea in the night, a love to proclaim. Listen closely now. A witness, a victim, the word and a name. She comes calling with the wild, as a scandal, as a child. She comes calling with the wild. Dave, you were an oak of righteousness. The world did not seem to want you to shine. You had so much baggage and such bad role models, and still you shined. And so I remember you this morning as clean of limb with remarkable skin, a boy against all odds, insisting on joy, a boy who was a witness to the light already here and coming into the world yet again this Advent. The Spirit of God is upon me, cried the prophet, because God has anointed me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to comfort all who mourn. May it be so. Amen.